join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Toward the Easter Bunny, but toward the cross of Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 27, where in just a moment we're going to begin the Easter season in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. There's a story told about an exhausted hunter who stumbles into a camp and says to the man sitting there beside the fire, "Boy, am I ever glad to see you. I've been lost for like 3 days." The guy seated beside the campfire said, "Well, I wouldn't get too excited. I've been lost for about 3 weeks now." You ever feel that way? You ever feel like you finally have found someone who knows the way, only to realize after talking with them for just a few moments, they're more lost than you are? Well, I'm glad this Easter season, each and every one of us celebrate having once been lost, but now we are found. And not only do we know where we are, but we know where we are going. And we are starting into an Easter season celebrating not just where he was and where he had been, but where he has gone, and that he has gone ahead before us, and that even now we serve a risen Savior who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is praying on our behalf. And he is ensuring that through his power, all things, even my things and your things, are working together for our good and for his. In Matthew chapter 27, we begin in verse 27, where it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garment, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Christ there, and set up over his head his accusation, which was written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful walk, this road of Calvary that you walked, for each and every one of us. And this morning, we ask God, as we revisit that road, and we see the steps that you took on our behalf, that God, in those steps and on that road, we would see this incredible love that you have for us. This Easter season, God, we ask that we would be experiencing your love in ways we've never known before, that we might give it in ways that we've never given it before. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. And everybody said together, amen. Here we find Christ taking his last few steps on the road to Calvary. This has been the last week of his life. This last week of his life before his crucifixion fulfilled many of the Old Testament prophecies. Each one of these prophecies that were fulfilled demonstrated his supernatural compassion. A compassion that was not just for his family and his friends, but a compassion that went deep into his heart, even for his enemies. I'm reminded of one of those prophecies of which the prophet Isaiah wrote and spoke of in chapter 9 and verse 6 of his own book. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And this child, this son, this Savior shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I paused for just a moment. It was hard for me to even read verse 7. Because as I was looking at verse 6, and as I'm reminded of an Easter that I will celebrate in my life for the 50th time, it was hard for me to get into verse 7 without first remembering all that I know about the Son and the Savior. For indeed, I have known Him to be wonderful. I have known Him as a counselor. I have known and seen Him as a mighty God. He has now become more than just my earthly Father. He is now my eternal, everlasting Father. And as I was ending verse 6 and trying to catch my breath and trying to decide in my mind just a moment ago would I read on, I paused for a moment at what I plan to talk about today, and that's His peace. For I have known in my life much pain. Many of us have known roads and paths that have been filled with pain. And yet along the way, each of us have also had the wonderful opportunity to know Him as not just our peace, but the Prince of Peace. This morning, I want us to look at where that peace came from, what it came out of, because I'm convinced it's pain that many, many times is the incubator and the birthing zone of His peace. This road to Calvary this week began with His triumphal entry, and it included the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, His betrayal, His being put on trial, His being found as an innocent man to be guilty. This week, this road included being beaten, being sentenced to death, and now dying on a cross. It was a week that began on a road with such praise and such promise that now seemed to be ending with such pain and yet such purpose. But can I contend this morning that just as there are two sides to every story and two sides to every coin, there are two sides to the road that Christ took to Calvary. There is indeed the side that included His pain, and yet there is a side of the road that includes also His peace. The prophet Isaiah indeed called Him the Prince of Peace. And not only did Isaiah call and prophesy that this Prince of Peace would be coming, but he said that once He comes, He will establish a kingdom of peace. And the kind of peace He gives is not of this world, but it's a peace that's of the next world. And it's a peace that's everlasting and never ending. I like what it says in John chapter 14 and verse 27. For Christ Himself, the Prince of Peace, says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, He says, "In my pain I have left you my peace." I found, as have many of you, that the path of life is filled with a great deal of pain. Pain between our promise and pain on our way to our purpose. Life is a long road. It's filled with a great deal of uncertainty. And have you noticed that there are very few guarantees? And yet in times of uncertainty, in times that seem to lack peace, that is generally the first thing our human nature reaches for and looks for. I need some way to understand this. I need a guarantee. I need something to happen. I need someone to say something that in some ways makes me more certain in this time of uncertainty. And yet Christ is saying there is just one constant. It's my peace. It's only my peace that is unending. I found that He has left peace in our path. And not only has He left peace in our path, but He has left peace for our pain. As a parent, I believe each of us would agree that there's not a pain in this world that is greater than our children's pain. How many of you would agree with that? I have yet to find a pain greater in this world, next to losing a loved one, than feeling the pain of my children's pain. When they were younger and I could control the pain, life was a little bit easier. It was a little bit easier when I could put some Bactine and a Band-Aid on their skint knee. But as they get older and their hearts come alive and their hearts endure rejection and their hearts endure criticism and their lives feel somewhat rejected, they begin to feel the same pain that you and I feel as adults, the same pain that Christ felt, the same pain that was on this road to Calvary. That pain was filled with all kinds of rejection. That road was filled with all kinds of insult. For He was despised in every manner possible. He was beaten. He was accused. And at the end of all of that, He stood on a cross. And there at the end of the road of Calvary, He bore not just the shame of our sin, but the consequences thereof. And yet every step on that road had a purpose. Even as he would take the step of pain, he would leave a measure of his peace. And he left that measure according to Scripture for you and for me. The prophet Isaiah comes back to the table and says this. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, he says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." I think as each of us sit here today, each of us are looking for peace. Peace about something. Some external circumstance or situation in our life that lacks peace. We've come looking for that peace because we know in that peace we will find an answer. Or perhaps there's something internally that's eating away at our peace. A doctor's report. A symptom of our body. As you get older, it takes you longer to get ready for bed. And as you get older, it takes you longer to get out of bed. You feel a little bit like the three characters in The Wizard of Oz. You feel a little bit like the lion because you're more inclined to roar in the morning, even after you've had your coffee. As you get older, you tend to be a little bit more like the scarecrow. You have a tendency to migrate and drift towards the fears of life. There's a little bit of you as you grow older that's a lot like the Tin Man. You get out of bed in the morning. And it takes you a little bit longer to get going. Not to see the wizard, but to see the Prince of Peace. Just as they were on a path, you and I are on a path. And more than a path, we too are on a road. Ours ends where Calvary began. So I think it's important for us to ask the question, what do you do to get peace? What do you do to get peace for your parenting? What do you do to get peace in your marriage? What do you do to get peace in your finances? What do you do to get peace in the midst of uncertain times? When you have more questions than answers and some days more fear than faith, what do you do? We all do something. I believe that the only place to find real peace and the only place to really start is in the Word of God. Now, I'm not sure if anybody's like you, but I know my life much like you know yours. And this is what I know about life. I know that it seems like all 22 plus years of raising children, I've been excited and anxious about our kids growing up. And the more they grew up, the louder the noise in the house has gotten. As they've gotten older, it's not the noise of them squabbling and bickering over Barbies. It's not the noise of their loud video games. It's now the noise of the Netflix that takes priority in our house. There's always a lot of noise in our house because there's always a lot of activity. You see, my wife is very outgoing and very outspoken. And as an introvert, I've had to make peace with all this busyness and all this activity and all this noise in our house. Every once in a while, the activity slows down to a halt and there is no noise. And we'll be seated on our love seat and we'll look at each other. And the noise and the sound thereof is deafening. I'll look at my wife and she'll look at me and I'll say, "Dina, do you hear that?" And she's like, "I don't hear nothing." And I'll tell her, "Exactly. It's so quiet. This noise is deafening." I don't know really what this has to do with the sermon. Except I thought it would be a great story about our life. Actually, it has a whole lot to do. Because there's a lot of noise, white noise, in our lives. There's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of things that work against us having a peace of mind and walking in a spirit of peace. So we do have to ask ourselves, where do we go to get peace? How do we get peace in uncertain times? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's such a wonderful start. I think it's difficult sometimes to tell yourself, okay, I'm not going to be anxious. Like it's just a little button you can push. Okay, I'm not anxious anymore. Okay, I'm not afraid anymore. Okay, Bring on the noise, I'm ready. I think that's why Scripture says more than just don't be anxious about anything. It begins to teach you and tell you how to find peace, how to calm the anxiousness on the inside of you, how to take every one of your situations and find peace by praying. And that's where we're going to start this morning, by praying and presenting your petitions to the Lord. I'm going to give you 15 seconds and think about the thing that you think the most about that lacks peace. What is it this morning that's trying to steal your peace? What is it that's trying to be the noise in your life that keeps you from hearing God's voice? What is it that you have come today to present to the Lord and ask His help in that you might find peace? You got 15 seconds. Is it your marriage? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your children? Is it the doctor's report? What is it? Is it the trip to the mall later and you're not sure what size of shirt to buy, Pastor, but you know you're just supposed to buy one? What is it trying to steal your peace? Large for those of you that are going to be obedient. See, it's not just enough to be anxious and think about the things that are stealing our peace. Scripture says to pray about them, to present them unto the Lord, to petition Him and to ask for His peace. So you got 15 seconds. Ready, set, go. And everybody said, now I've left a key part out about our prayer time and how to find peace. He teaches us it's not just enough to think about what's stealing your peace. It's not just enough to think about what you need God to answer on your behalf. He says you are to think about these things. You are to pray. You are to offer them as requests and petitions to the Lord. Not like He's Santa Claus, but like He's your Savior. He's saying there's a certain position in your attitude. There's a certain way that you express yourself to the Lord, and it's with thanksgiving. You can either do one of two things. You can present yourself to the Lord like He's Santa Claus, and you can try to pout Him out. How many of you have ever met somebody who has tried to pout God out, tried to make His way and their way the same? Sometimes that's when we lose our peace. We think we know what's best. We choose a way that's best for us, but it may not even be what's best according to the Lord for us. But it won't stop us from getting mad and sitting, shouting, and pouting. And since we can't have it our way, we start feeling sorry for ourselves. And we begin to pray according to that spirit. Lord, I can't believe You haven't done this. And God, I can't believe You haven't done that. And God, this is what needs to happen. And God, that's what needs to happen. And we get very animated. And we feel a great deal of pain trying to make God's way fit our way. Scripture says that doesn't work. Scripture says to reposition yourself when you present your thoughts, your prayers, your ideas, your requests to Him in prayer. He says to do it with a thankful heart, to do it with thanksgiving. It's a whole different posture. It's a whole different position. It's a whole different attitude. It's a whole different way of doing life. How do you thank God for the things you don't have? How? By thanking Him for the things you do have. So I want you, before you pray again and ask God for anything else, thank Him for what you do have. For those children that are eating your lunch and stealing your peace, thank the Lord. There will be a day it's going to be way too quiet. And you'll wish for that noise again. For the spouse that seems to be away from the Lord and away from you, thank the Lord. For the body that doesn't seem to heal, thank the Lord that His body does. For the sermon that doesn't seem like it's ever going to end, thank the Lord that if you cooperate, it could be over in 5 minutes. So reposition your attitude. this Easter season. And instead of seeing what you lost on the cross of life, see the other side of the cross. There's two sides to the cross. There's the side that ends in life, but there's the other side that begins a new life, a new resurrection, and a new day in the life of each and every one of us. So get in the position of thanksgiving. Get on the other side of the cross that you've been bearing. Throw your hands up in the air, shake them around like you just don't care, and let every breath that you begin to thank the Lord for what you do have. Put on some thanksgiving now. It's not Easter at Dominion, it's Thanksgiving. Bring out the turkey, the dressing, and the cranberry sauce. Throw down some giblet gravy. Wash it down with some biscuits from the Cracker Barrel and some strawberry preserves. It's time to go old school. And in the middle of your cross, show the devil he doesn't have the final say-so in your life. Show him, even though this body's not healed today, this story is not over. This family's not going down. This marriage is not over. Even in this body that's the tin man today, I'm going to be Superman tomorrow. So just thank the Lord. You got 15 seconds to thank the Lord for what you do have. Some of you all are acting like you ain't got nothing to be thankful for. Oh, this is your 15 seconds. Don't mind me. Some of you are getting your peace back. You've repositioned yourself to get your peace back. And it begins with a spirit of thanksgiving because there's two sides to the cross. Some of you have been living on the wrong side of Easter, the wrong side of the cross. Some of you have been looking at life as if the stone is still in front of the grave that holds Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, 2,000 years ago when he rolled the stone back, it wasn't so he could get out, it was so you could get in. So this morning I am saying to you, get in, get on with it, build a bridge, get over it, and get to the other side of the Easter story. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, oh man, tell yourself, this includes this thing. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Real peace. Real peace is what we're looking for. The kind of peace that produces a peace of mind begins by making peace with God. I believe that inner peace is one of life's greatest treasures, that it's invaluable, and it's only sustainable when the created has made peace with the Creator. You see, the road of Calvary wasn't paved with good intentions. It was paved with the cross of God's pain. It was paved with the cross of God's pain that we might find God's peace. You see, 2,000 years ago, I believe the Creator walked the path of pain so that the created might find and make peace with the Creator. It's on that road that we can finally make peace with God. Because of the cross of God, we have access to the throne of God. That's your Facebook posting and tweet for the day. Because of the cross of God, and only because of the cross of God, we can now have access to the throne of God. So peace, real peace, begins by making peace with God. Some of us are here this morning and we have been wrestling with God. We have been wrestling with God because we haven't liked the way that He's answered certain prayers. We still see it as a way of Him not answering the prayer because how He answered it wasn't according to our way. And now as a result, we have this God crisis. And because of this wrestling with this God crisis in our life, it's now becoming personal. And we're starting to have a crisis with other people. We're looking for someone to blame for the way that God answered something in our life, and He didn't answer that according to our way. But real peace doesn't come when you get to change God's mind about the way I'm not helping you, am I? Real peace doesn't come when we finally wrestle God to the point that He's like, okay, you've changed my mind. No, real peace comes when you finally say, okay, I'm going to stop wrestling you. I'm going to give you permission to change my mind. Peace with God. Peace with God brings the peace of God. Isn't that deep? Say that with me. Peace with God brings the peace of God. Let's say it again. Peace with God brings the peace of God. I have to remind myself of that over and over again, that peace with God brings the peace of God. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace of mind is a gift that the Lord gives to all of us who receive. And we are of a legacy generation. Pause and think for just a moment. Legacy. How many times have you seen that word lately? In this last couple of years, this generation of people have become very mindful of what they're going to leave to the next generation. They become very aware of having a responsibility of leaving certain things in the hearts of those that will come after them. It's a legacy generation. Jesus left a legacy. A part of that legacy was that He left a legacy of peace. Jesus, on this road to Calvary, this road that was filled with the path of pain, had a quiet confidence that was and is based on the belief of His sufficiency. His sufficiency was found in His Father, and it gave Him the peace He needed to endure the pain and to fulfill His purpose. You see, it's the Lord's peace that always accomplishes and accompanies His purpose. This is one of the ways you can know if you are headed in the right direction. If you lack peace, then it's important to push the pause button and ask yourself why. Because wherever God's path of purpose takes us, His peace is always there to accompany us. And not just to accompany us, but to accomplish through His strength the power to fulfill His purpose. I love how Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 reads. From the Names of God Bible, it reads, may God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and fill you with peace through your faith in Him. Then you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome to know that His peace accompanies and accomplishes His purpose in my life. And when I lack that peace, I need to stop. Because somewhere I've begun to lose my joy, and I've begun to lose my peace. I am no longer living out of the overflow of God's power. If it was a battery on my iPhone, it would give me that 20% warning sign that says I'm low on battery. Some of us are here this morning, and we're low in our spiritual battery because we've not made peace with God. It's cost us the peace of God. And we are wrestling and trying to change His mind and everybody else's mind. And the whole time, those are indicators that say, hey, you've lost your peace. Your spiritual battery is low and you're not going to operate the same. I love how Philippians says in chapter 4 and verse 9. And isn't it a blessing to you when you start seeing adults leave the service because they're going back to lead our children? I don't know about you, but that blesses me. It also gives me a chance to pick on some of them as they leave. I'm not sure which of the two I enjoy the most, but doesn't that bless you to know that in this church, people are as committed to making sure the next generations have the legacy of His Word that our generation does? I got my dad finger out right then, so you can clap. Philippians says in chapter 4 and verse 9, in the names of God Bible, practice what you've learned and receive from me what you've heard and saw me do. Then the God who gives this peace will be with you. I like to get around peaceful people. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be around gossipers and meddlers. People that meddle drive me nuts. They don't really ever know, but they suspicion everything and everyone. And they whisper, well, what's wrong with Joey? And when they tell me that, I'm like, well, beyond the obvious, or is there something? I'm modeling what not to do. I like to be around peacemakers. I like to be around and I like to see them, because a presence of peace is not an absence of problem or an absence of pain. It's that they have been in God's presence long enough for God's presence to be in them and recharge their spiritual battery. Practice what you've learned. That's what I like to do, is learn. I like to watch and see what they're doing, and I like to practice that and learn from that. I like to do what I see them say. I like to do what I see them live. And guess what happens? The God of peace will be with me. Renee's coming, and as he is, I want us to recognize that real peace is not based on external experiences, but on an internal intimacy with the Lord. As I was preparing for this morning, I could not help but think about a song I asked Renee earlier this week to get ready. It's an old Methodist camp meeting song, and it was written in 1889. And the words are words that you know. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when you stand, I'm going to give you opportunity to sing this song. And as you stand, I want you to get plugged in. If your spiritual battery is low this morning and you've come and you need a recharging, this song and this moment is for you. This day is for you. This day for you is to remind yourself that there's another side to the cross. Yes, there is two sides. There is the side of the cross that includes crucifixion, but there's the other side that includes resurrection. There are two sides of your life. That side that fears or feels helpless, hopeless and weary, but there's that other side of your life in Him that when empowered feels strong, feels courageous, feels healed and is made whole. That in moments like these, you get strengthened and you're able to say, Lord, I can walk the path of this pain because I have now found the peace you left for me in it. My pain may not stop coming. I may be a caregiver for the rest of my life, but that's okay, as long as I know that for every step of pain in my life, you have left me with a step of your peace. So this is that moment where we all get to get recharged. So I'm going to ask you if you would to stand to your feet. I want you to tell neighbor, look, they're playing our song. Sweep over my spirit. Wonderful song has been a family favorite in my household. Until I started looking for more of this song, I did not realize there were other verses. I don't believe I've ever sang any of the other verses except for maybe one. But I want to share these verses with you, and then I want to just speak this truth over you of peace. One of the verses goes like this. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. The third verse says, I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. It finishes by this last verse by saying, and I think when I rise to that city of peace, where the anchor of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom will be. A story has two sides. A coin has two sides. The cross has two sides. And our life has two sides. Our life here for just a short season, and our life in heaven over there for eternity. Let us never forget that. And may today each of us find the anchor of peace. I declare over you today that this will be a day filled with peace. I declare that you will have not only peace in your heart, but peace in your head. And not just peace in your head, but I speak peace to your home. That everywhere then you place your hands, there shall be peace. Wonderful peace, and there shall be power, heavenly power. That this would be a day that over and over again you would see your Father's love and how it would just come and sweep you and make you feel enveloped in His love. I bless you in peace and declare this to be a day of peace. And everybody said together, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you Wednesday.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.